Yo, what's good? Episode 181, Stash House Podcast. Your boy Tyler checking in. First time listeners, thank y'all for tuning in. You tune in weekly, salute. And just an episode, you saw some topics you may want to hear about. Salute to you as well. Like, share, subscribe, retweet, whatever you do to help support the podcast. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Hope everyone had a safe week, man, a safe weekend. Enjoy yourself, positive energy, positive vibes all the way around. Before I start this episode, just want to let y'all know, no episode next week. Got some things I got to take care of, man. Got a wedding to attend. Man, I love weddings, bro. I love weddings, man. So I'm very, very excited for that. Shout out to the family, man. Steven having his wedding. So I'm very excited about that. And just see love, man. You know, our generation nowadays, we got so many definitions, so many different meanings of the term love, what love mean, what does love incorporate, whoop-de-whoop, all that stuff people talk about on social media. So it's actually good to see real love in real life, man. So best wishes for that couple, man. I can't wait to celebrate with y'all over the weekend. And, of course, y'all know weddings, that means also reunions, and this is going to be like a college reunion. Shout out to the alma mater, Troy University, as well, man. So I can't wait to see everybody, man. I believe we're going to be in Birmingham. So can't wait to see everybody, man. Should be a great time, man. I can't wait. So, yeah, no episode next week. So start things off, man, this week, of course. College football made its return, man. Saturdays are back in full effect. We had some games, but most notably, top five matchup, man, my Ohio State Buckeyes. We faced Notre Dame, Fighting Irish. We got the W, man. We got the W, 21-10. All around, man, first, my first thoughts on the game, y'all know, because this Ohio State, so I got to give y'all a breakdown. We won 21-10, but my thoughts overall on the game, man, I just hate how cute the pregame was. And when I say cute, this is what I mean. First college game day was in Columbus, Ohio. And I totally get it. Top five matchup, number two. I think it was like, what, number two versus number five, I'm not mistaken. So I get that. But I like for my teams to fly under the radar. Just like my music, I like my sports teams to fly under the radar. I don't like the lights, camera action, but I understand it. So I didn't like that. Then me being an Ohio State fan, on my Twitter feed, I was seeing nothing but pregame and in-game analysis and all that. So pregame, they were saying most of all the alumni from Ohio State players, a lot of them was in the building. And I get it. It was the 2002 National Championship team, head coach by Jim Tressel. It was their anniversary, their 20-year anniversary of that championship. And I believe they all had talks amongst themselves because of the situation with Dwayne Haskins months ago, that everybody's going to come together in terms of, you know, brotherhood, Ohio State brotherhood and all that. So that was dope to see. But at the time I was like even Joe Burrow pulled up, and Joe Burrow transferred from Ohio State to, everybody know, going to LSU, winning the national championship, playing for the Bengals now. So even seeing Joe Burrow there, I was like, okay, obviously, a conversation was had amongst the former players of everybody coming back for the first game. LeBron James and his son, Bronny, pulled up. So it was like a very, like, not celebrity field sideline, but if you're Ohio State fan, you're like, okay, this is a different sideline for a team that, you know, wasn't even in the playoffs last year. And a lot of high hopes for this team this year, man. That's another thing I really don't like. Like I said, I like to be under the radar. I don't like to be – like I heard pregame, this team is projected to just have a straight path to the national championship or to the playoffs. And I'm like, man, do not say that. I hate when they say that. If you think I like when they say, oh, Ohio State is a clear playoff contender, trust me, I don't like hearing that. That's the last thing I want to hear. I want to fly under the radar as much as possible. So pregame, I was already feeling the kind of way, but – In the game, man, wow, a lot of room for improvement. A lot of room for improvement, man. C.J. Stroud, y'all know that was my main thing coming to the season. C.J. Stroud, Ryan Day, where would their chemistry be to start this season off, man? And it got off to a rocky start, in my opinion. Smith and Jigma, our top receiver, he got hurt in the first quarter, early in the first quarter. And to be honest with y'all, from the early first quarter when Smith and Jigma got hurt, I don't feel like we really start clicking until probably like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So that was kind of – I was scratching my head about that all game. I'm like, okay, clearly Smith and Jim was supposed to be a key point, a key person in our offense tonight. Because for like the first few drives, it felt like they didn't even run the ball as much with Henderson. And I forgot about Mayan Williams. I forgot to mention him last week. But they didn't even think about running the ball with them after Smith and Jigba got hurt. It was like Ryan Day was trying to find the next receiver to step up. Like, clearly that was a game plan going into the game. Like, okay, we're going to get the receivers going. But that's my thing, man. I'm like, yo, if you see this not working, use the running game. The running game is going to open up the passing lanes. You know what I'm saying? As we saw with the touchdown pass that we had, it was like Notre Dame, I think both of their safeties blitzed, and we had like a free space in the center, and that was because of the running game. So that would kind of make me scratch my head. Okay, I saw it, and I was like, okay, I get it. First game, top five matchup, you got a game plan, you're trying to stick with the game plan. But, man, after halftime at least, you got to switch it up, man. And the fact that we didn't really start clicking to the middle of the fourth quarter, that was kind of alarming for me. Watching the game, that was kind of alarming. So a lot of room for improvement in terms of chemistry. But I mean, CJ Stroud, man, he had a decent game, 24 for 34, 223 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? He did what he had to do. But our running game is what got us to the point of winning the ball game, in my opinion. Trevion Henderson, 15 carries 91 yards. Mayan Williams, like I said, I totally forgot about mentioning him last week. Mayan Williams, 14 carries, 84 yards, plus a touchdown. So, going forward, man, I guess, you know, determining on Smith and Jigba's health. I mean, we got receivers. I mean, Harrison Jr., he finally stepped up. Igbuka, he stepped up. He had 9 catches, 90 yards, a touchdown. Back to Marvin Harrison, he had 5 catches, 56 yards. Xavier Johnson, 2 catches, 34 yards, 1 touchdown. So, we had receivers step up, but for the most part, man, I think moving forward, I understand we have a balanced offense. I get it. But, man, if the passing not working because these little dunks and, yo, okay, get yards after the catch, I understand it. But at the same time, man, if we got 2 running backs that got potential, hey, man, let's use them the best we can. So, moving forward, I would like to see a more balanced offense. I don't think our offense was balanced the first 3 quarters and a half on Saturday. And I get it. Like I said, Smith and Jigba got hurt. But Ryan Day, just trust your offense, man. Open up the playbook. I said it last week, just opened up the playbook, man. Our defense, though, salute our defense, man. They held their own because, like I said, I got my group chat, my uncles and my cousin, we all Ohio State fans. If this was last year's defense, man, I don't think the score would be 21-10. The fact that we held Notre Dame to 10 points, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? Notre Dame, I say it every year, yo, how they always end up sneaking in to the top five or whatever. But granted, this is a top five team. And if it was last year's team, that quarterback would have had a field day because our defense never been good against a running quarterback, especially when it comes to, like, the option play. Like, you can see the replays and all that. When the option play happened, our defense would go the total opposite way and let the quarterback have free room to run. If the option is faking to the right, our whole defense would go to the right. And now the quarterback got all the left to run as much as he can. So, last year, that was the case. I feel like last year, that quarterback probably would have ate us up. But our defense held our ground, man. And, of course, Notre Dame had a freshman quarterback. So, that dude kind of played a role in it. Tyler Buchner, he had 10 completions, 18 attempts, no touchdowns. They running back, 6 carries, 28 yards. Another running back, 9 carries, 21 yards, a touchdown. So, all in all, our defense stepped up. When our offense was slow starting and all that, our defense kept us in the game, man. And that's the formula for Ohio State football, man. It was a typical Ohio State football game, in my opinion, in terms of not coming alive in the game until the second half, even though this second half, we woke up in the second half late as hell, but we still woke up in the second half. You know what I'm saying? So, moving forward, like I said, our schedule playing to our favor, so we got time. I think we got Arkansas State this weekend, so we got time to get things together, man. We got to get things clicking before conference play. You know, we got a top five win to start the season. They mentioned it last night. Normally, when Ohio State play an out-of-conference team that's in the top five at home, I think there was, like, before last night, not last night, before Saturday night, we was, like, 1-5 in wins. So we lost 4. We won 5. We lost 4. We won 1 in our last 5 out-of-conference top 5 opponents at home. So, it was a big win for us, but, man, I see a lot of room for improvement, man, just on offense. Ryan Day just got to open up the playbook, man. You know what I'm saying? Our running backs, you can see the clear difference in our offense when the running backs get the ball and when C.J. Stroud just dunking it off. Like, I don't have the stats, but I'm trying to figure out how many passes did he do that was probably more than 20 yards. You know what I'm saying? So, offense, trust our running game. I think we'll be fine. Defense, I see some things the defense can work on. You know what I'm saying? Especially with penalties and all that. But in terms of our defense on Saturday night, man, I was very impressed. So, glad we start our season off with a top five win, man. Schedule playing to our favor. So, I'm looking to see a lot of improvements from Ohio State, for my Ohio State Buckeyes, man. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm looking forward to that. All right, so over the weekend, we had some wrestling events. Going to talk about that, man. But I got my special guest, my partner, Jacob Knight, in the building. All right, Jake, I got you on.
Hey, what's up, man? Thank you for having me on the podcast, man.
All right, no problem, man. Just before we start, just let the people know who you are, what you're doing, all that. I'm sure, you know, they've been tuned in, they know, but, you know, we got some new listeners, so just give them a little one-on-one info, introduction, my bad, on, you know, just who you are, what all that, so.
Well, folks, the faithful listeners of the Stash House Podcast, my name is Jacob, and I've been knowing Tyler literally since day one, since kindergarten. Been knowing this man for about 25 plus years. We went from, of course, kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, to adult life. I really consider this man one of my very good friends, and I'm honored to be on this podcast. I myself wear a lot of hats, amateur podcaster, amateur food content creator recently. Make sure to go follow both of them at Instagram page is High Infinity Pod. And if you like food, you got to put the food page in. Follow me at So Yeah, I'm Eating on Instagram and TikTok. Still trying to learn how to figure out TikTok. I'm getting a little bit up there in age, so a little bit hard to work with. But yeah, So Yeah, I'm Eating on Instagram and TikTok. And Eating is spelled E-A-T-I-N.
All right. Yeah, I got your socials and all that up too as well. I got High on Infinity Pod, though. You said it's High Infinity Pod?
Yeah, I think it's High Infinity Pod. Yeah, yeah.
All right. They'll find out. I'll try to fix it up. I do got your socials up too as well. So me and Jake, man, like you said, we've been friends for a long time. And one thing we got in common outside of music and food is the wrestling world, man. So we got events over the weekend. We had one event yesterday. We have another event tonight. Well, two events, because they got the NXT Worlds Collide as well. So,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's on the Peacock Network as well.
Yeah, so we wrestling fans eating this weekend. So overall, I guess we can start with WWE right now. What's your thoughts on everything within like the past 2 months with the change in authority and the product on TV and all that? What's your thoughts on it?
Okay, first off, we'll start with the change in authority. We all assumed, you know, Vince McMahon was going to basically stay, you know, the guy until, you know, he moves on into the next life, you know. Mm-hmm. But when the shocking retirement happened, you know, of course, you know, when the reports were going on about, you know, the hush money and all that stuff, allegedly, it was okay, you know, we don't think it's going to stop Vince. And the more kept coming out. And then when he suddenly retired, I think it's more of, I think you said on a few episodes ago, like maybe the board of directors and the networks like, hey, man, this ain't looking good, man. It's either we're going to cut ties, you got to retire or resign. Mm-hmm. Then that happened, and then everybody was like, oh, my God. I mean, Triple H is going to be, you know, running things. And I think so far, man, it's going good. Of course, you know, you're going to have your woes here and there because, you know, you put on a show twice a week, 52 weeks out of the year, add on 10 to 15 events. You're going to have some woes in there. Everything's not going to be a banger, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's so far so good. You could definitely tell that that the Clash of the Castle had, it was more of a quote-unquote Triple H show, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, man, I'm enjoying the product, man. I watched Raw back-to-back for like the first time in years.
Yeah, yeah. I saw you had posted that. And my thing always been, you know, just make it make sense.
Yeah.
You know, it was times when Vince McMahon throughout – years, not just recently, throughout the years, you like, you just scratch your head at a lot of things and you wonder, like, okay, I know the writers, everybody in the room couldn't agree on this. And then, you know, as you see different interviews and all that, everybody say, yeah, it can get approved by everybody, but ultimately Vince was the last yes and the no. And just to know that, and then the product we've been getting just from his departure within the last 2 months, you can see a difference. You can see, like, even the fans are into it now, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, just getting people who have been, I guess, the last fans in the Vince era, like, oh, Triple H is running this? Well, NXT was pretty good for the most part when he was running it. Let me check back. Because there was a point in time where I was on NXT more because he was, because Triple H was running it rather than WWE, because it was a good bit of time where NXT was the, even though it was quote unquote developmental, it was by far the superior brand in WWE.
Yeah, and that's how you really knew, like, something. It was different. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. Throughout the years, we all been like, okay, Vince, you know, the last yes and the no. But when we start seeing the NXT people come from NXT to the main roster and just see how he just either changed them. Like I said, some people it worked out for, you know, Matt Riddle, Bianca Belair. It worked out for a good bit. But I think, like, when you talk about the Keith Lees and
– oh, yeah.
Karrion Kross when he first jumped over, and Adam Cole, he didn't even want to make the jump because he knew what was about to happen. Basically, I think they were saying he was supposed to be like a manager or something. Stuff like that. I was like, okay, it's something different now. It's just not okay. The writers and all, something Vince got going on that, because there's no way. If you had told me that Survivor Series, when it was like all three brands, when the whole, you know, AEW is coming, the NXT AEW thing going on, if you would have told me then that now half of that NXT crew would probably be at AEW, I'd been like, okay, something crazy had to transpire. And obviously it did, because a lot of people didn't even want to make that jump. And when they made the jump, it just didn't make sense.
Oh, yeah, you can see with probably the prime example is Johnny Gargano. Granted, we didn't know all this Vince stuff was going to happen, but he, you know, his contract was up. I guess he waited it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Vince made that announcement, I don't know if he called Triple H. Triple H called him. But, you know, I think with him, I think he's going to go on the main roster since, you know, he has Triple H, you know, running things now.
Yes. Yeah, it's a confidence that everybody now with Ciampa and all those guys, everybody just feel like, okay, everything is starting to click now. As we just said, Clash at the Castle felt like probably, I know SummerSlam was his first event, first big event as taking role, but I think after Saturday, a lot of people was like, okay, this is different. Because not to say that if Vince was in charge, it would have felt different, but I felt like this wasn't like the other event they have, I think it was Sudan or...
Which is, oh, yeah, Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's clearly like a money grab situation. And,
oh, yeah.
And the matches, and I mean, we got a list of matches that were just horrible for that event. So just this one event alone, it feels like a new era, like I said before. It definitely feels like a new era now that Triple H is in charge.
Oh, yeah, I say with, you know, with Triple H running things, and the product has substantially gotten better over the past couple months. And, of course, you know, with AEW, I know people don't believe this, but it's okay to like both of them, you know?
It's perfectly fine to like both. And it's perfectly fine to criticize both. Because, like you said, just because Triple H taking over, like, it's still some things, you know, like, I'm going to talk about, you know, a few things on the matches from Saturday. But, I mean, AEW have his, you know, I mean, I think AEW probably has more of things you want to critique than WWE at the time. But I mean, both got their rights and both got their wrongs. I can definitely agree with that.
Oh yeah, there's definitely stuff I like at AEW. There's stuff I don't like. Same thing with WWE. There's stuff I like, there's stuff I don't like. And of course, you know, we're gonna get into some of that with Clash of the Castle.
Yeah, so let's just go and get into it, man. First, the pre-show match, we had Madcap Moss and the Street Profits defeating Austin Theory and Alpha Academy. What do you think about this whole Street Profits thing going forward? What do you think should happen, and when do you think it will happen, if it happens?
I can't lie, I did not know this was a pre-show match. I just like got on Twitter like 5 minutes before it started. Yeah. And they said like Montez Ford just jumped, like doing a front foot by the ring. I was like, hold up, this is a pre-show match? I did not know.
Yeah, I saw it. But, I saw it like probably 30 minutes before it happened.
Yeah, but to answer your question, yeah, me, when they faced the Usos at SummerSlam, I thought they were going to win the titles. And then after the fact, you know, people, you know, we're on wrestling Twitter. We're not like deep into it, but we know the ins and outs of it. The talks on wrestling Twitter is like, you know, people think Montez Ford is gonna, you know, the whole Shawn Michaels Marty Jannetty comparison. Every tag team has that. You have your Shawn Michaels. In this case, it's Montez Ford. And unfortunately, everybody's looking at Angelo Dawkins as a Marty Jannetty. Not saying he's bad, but I think he's pretty good. I think whenever the split happens, it was kind of tough because it's different because, you know, all that stuff was happening when Vince was running it and now Triple H has been running it. They really don't see, you know, the seeds being planted for a split.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it eventually happens, I could see Montez Ford the one, you know, doing the turn.
Yeah.
But, you know, because people have Montez Ford as a main eventer. I think I could see him as a main eventer. I think Angelo Dawkins can be a good, I don't want to say mid-carder. I could see him having an IC title run or a US title run when they do their separate things.
Yeah, and that's very important because if you would have said that months ago about the US title or Intercontinental title, it would have been like, okay, well, maybe that'll happen. But now they're putting putting the prestige back in those titles now. So it's not bad if you split up and one goes main event, the other one goes mid-card title scene. That's not a bad thing. As long as you like not like on a 24/7 title, like if you ain't in that little scheme, you good. Yeah, they got the victory. Austin Theory, I mean, I guess we can talk about him later on, but at the same time, I'm not sure where his trajectory is about to go because clearly he was the guy when Vince was there. Vince never come out on television just for a U.S. title victory. I think he beat Finn Balor and Vince McMahon came out. And I was like, okay, clearly Vince McMahon is putting his all into Austin Theory. But now, like Roman said, your dad is not here no more. So I'm not sure where it's about to go with Theory. I mean, like I said, we can talk about him later on because he did make an appearance, but that didn't last too long, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Finn Balor, I got to ask you a question about Finn Balor when we get to his match.
All right. Just keep that in mind.
Okay.
First match of the night, we had Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss versus Damage Control. I guess that's their name now. Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai. Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai won, and they pinned Bianca Belair to do it. So what do you think of that match overall and that storyline?
Overall, I thought it was a good opener. I'm a little biased. I'm a Dakota Kai fan. You know, I was very vocal on Twitter
when
she was released. And I'm glad she's back. Overall, the match, I think the right people won. You know, if you want to build up a heel stable, they got to get some victories. Mm-hmm. And I was actually shocked that they pinned Bianca Belair. Because going into the match, I was like, okay, Alexa Bliss is eating this pin.
Yeah.
And, they did pin Bianca. It wasn't no roll up. I think all of them hit their finishers on her to make her, you know, make her still look good. Like, hey, it took three finishers to take Bianca Belair down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the right people won. Bayley pinned Bianca. That definitely sets up a, you know, Bayley and Bianca Belair storyline down the line. Because I think they were feuding when Bayley got injured. So yeah, I think that's gonna be a good match whenever that happens down the road. I think maybe Survivor Series, maybe in a match. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you say. I think the right people won. And I want to say earlier in the week, I saw a post saying, yo, like, when are we ever going to see Bianca Belair get pinned? It was crazy. I just saw a tweet about it. Cause like you said, we on wrestling Twitter and all that. I saw a tweet that was like, yo, I get it. She's a champ. But for me, it always seems like I get it. Like, you know, the whole landscape of the women's division and all that. But it seemed like one person get the belt, they're going to hold it for months. And the other person get the belt, they're going to hold it for months. Then the person who just had the belt going to defeat that person. She's going to have it for months. So it always felt like that cycle. And I feel like they're breaking out that cycle. But I saw a post about that recently. They're like, yo, Bianca Belair, she never gets pinned. And I think that was like, this is her first time getting pinned on a major event in like maybe a year and a half or something like that. It was some crazy stat I saw.
I want to say since the Becky match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, so that was what, last summer? SummerSlam? Yeah, so and you know how that went. But, yeah, I think that's the best way you can really make Bianca seem more dominant than what she is than have everybody do their finisher on her. You know, that's the best way to do it, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a great opening match, you know, to kick off the show. And, of course, you know, them UK crowds hit different, man. I can't lie.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the whole event, that the UK crowd was on 10. And I do want to, I ain't gonna jump because we're gonna get to the next match as well. What you felt about the British Bulldog and Bret Hart tribute?
I thought it was good. Of course, you know, if you know the story, you know the story. I'm not gonna get into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the first UK event in 30 years.
Yeah, since that, since that event.
Yeah, I think it was the same week, but I did see a Triple H press conference. He said he don't mind doing more stadium shows overseas.
Yeah, there's definitely because the big four, if you like to call it, you know, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, those are great, but of course, you know, bigger stadiums, bigger checks, you know, bigger exposure, so I can definitely see that in the future. I'm glad it was on a Saturday, too.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely doing it good with these Saturday pay-per-views.
Yeah.
On that premium live event.
Yeah, oh yeah, premium live. Yeah. But our next match, man, one of my favorite matches, Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sheamus. What you think about that? Lived up to the hype, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, like when they announced this match, I think Sheamus won like a fatal 4-way match, something like that. And it was, you know, they put the graphic of him versus Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they about to beat the hell out of each other, and they did.
Yes, it was everything I wanted, man. Everything. I think when people cause you know wrestling Twitter, they kind of spoil it. They don't tell you what's going to happen, but when you see a post, you're like, okay, that make a lot of sense. They're like, yo, I would love to see Sheamus versus Gunther in the UK, and I was like, dang, that would make sense. You know what I'm saying? And then of course,
oh yeah,
it happened. So I liked it. I guess I'm not that informed on the whole Imperium thing. I thought it was like four of them, but I guess those are the original three. I guess I'm not sure, but. You know, before Gunther came out, they had the two guys talking, and I guess they're like, Imperium.
Oh, yeah.
Imperium is back, and I thought it was always four of them. I know it was just like an original three or something. I didn't get that though. I guess you know.
I think there was four of them, and I want to say one of them got released, or they didn't, re-up his contract or anything. But yeah, there used to be four, but now there's three.
Okay, and like I said, that match lit up to the hype. Old school slobber knocker type of match.
Oh yeah, man! Like you literally can't name five moves wrestling moves they did.
Yeah,
you know,
they're just beating the hell out of each other. And Sheamus' chest was red as hell. It's always weird to see that. I'm like, damn, because even back in the even back in the day when like Ric Flair them used to do the chops, we never saw it to that extent. Where it's like, damn, you know,
Gunther is basically a backhand slap. That's basically his chop.
Yeah, and they live to the hype, man. I don't know where it's going to go in terms of Gunther's title reign. I'm not sure, but, I mean, it's off to a great start, in my opinion.
I did see something on Twitter. They said that, well, I think it was a live event, I think Gunther and Drew McIntyre had a face-off, but, hey, you know, since, of course, you know how the main event worked out, maybe that could be a possible match in the future.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that as well. I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah, but that was definitely my match of the night. With Gunther and Sheamus. Also, Sheamus with a nice reception after their match is pretty cool itself.
Yeah, it felt like they were even surprised about that, the wrestlers, because that wasn't the only one that we saw, you know, the whole night. That the crowd crowd was just basically giving them their flowers. It was like, oh, like, dang, I appreciate this. And, like, they just stayed on camera, and, like, it wasn't like a scripted moment. Like, the wrestlers was even surprised, like, wow, okay. I ain't expect this, you know, thank you. So that was definitely great to see that numerous times throughout the night.
Yeah, but I think Sheamus will go down as probably one of the more underrated wrestlers of his generation, because when you think about it, when he came in, it was, you know, John Cena and Randy Orton and Triple H to some extent. And then, you know, when that started to wane out, you started to get, you know, your Roman Reigns, your Seth Rollins, we'll count Dean Ambrose in there, Dean Ambrose / John Moxley. They started to get be on the come up. But granted, no, Sheamus did have his titles and stuff. I think when you look back on it, he'll go down as the most, like, unsung heroes of his era.
Yeah, because he was him, Dolph Ziggler. Like, it's a few guys who maintained and stayed. Kofi Kingston throughout, you know, the multiple reign of terrors of John Cena and the Randy Orton feud. And so it definitely guys who were loyal, who's been loyal to the company still, you know, staying with them, and they get rewarded for it, because like we said with Seth Rollins, Sheamus, certain guys, they can lose a match and it won't be like, oh, why they lost, you know what I'm saying? It's just okay, they put on a great match regardless.
Oh yeah.
All right, so the next match, SmackDown Women's Champion Liv Morgan defeated Shayna Baszler. What's your thoughts? Because it kind of just happened and ended for me. And I'm trying to see where they're trying to go with Liv Morgan with her reign, because, I mean, there's no way you can argue or nothing about what happened at SummerSlam, because we saw the replay. You know, and I was scratching my head. I was like, that's one error I'll say in the Triple H reign so far. Like, why would you have that match in like that? And I don't know what Ronda Rousey doing. She's just breaking people's arms and getting arrested since then. So I'm trying to see where they're trying to go with Liv Morgan. She's going to be like the not the baby face. Of course, she's a baby face, but like the champion that somehow gets the victory until Charlotte comes back or what? So what you think about her reign so far?
So far, I'm a Liv Morgan fan. I think, you know, like once you get the fan support, I assume, you know, that's going to help you out maybe. But I was actually shocked that Liv won. I thought Shayna was just going to basically, thing like the Ronda match, is beat the hell out of her and take the title. Or I thought if Liv would have won, it would have been kind of similar to the Ronda match. Like, she gets the hell beat out of her, and then she just do a surprise roll for a victory. But I'm surprised she actually got a finisher off and pinned her clean.
Yeah, clean. Like I said, it just kind of happened. I was like, oh, because I guess I didn't know that was her finisher, I guess. It just happened. I was like, oh damn. Okay. He's like, she won clean. But I thought after that night that she was getting booed, I was like, oh, this might be, you know, okay, let's take the title off her for a minute, because when she was making that, when she was talking, it was like, you tapped out. And it was like, yeah, it was clear. Like, it wasn't no millisecond or nothing. Like, she was tapping way before the three count. So
it was a definite difference.
Yeah, so I'm here to see what happens from here. You know, they got the thing of Charlotte Flair coming back eventually, and maybe we know how that goes. But then again, we got new management, so maybe they not going to just throw it on her this time. So we'll see about that, though.
Yeah, we build up to Charlotte taking it. Don't just have Charlotte come back. They have a match if she wins.
Yeah, on SmackDown at that. So, next match, man. Tag team match. The OGs, Edge and Rey Mysterio versus the Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Damian Priest. This storyline here, man, I don't get it, because I don't feel like it shouldn't have came to this in terms of the Judgment Day. Like, it was fine the way it was with Edge, Damian Priest, and
Rhea
Ripley. So, just from the Finn Balor coming into that, I didn't know what question you had about Finn Balor, but just him coming to the Judgment Day, I didn't think made any type of sense. So,
I'm about to ask my Finn Balor question now.
Oh, okay.
Do you think WWE dropped the ball on Finn Balor?
See, I called on him late. I was on him late, but I think that was just a Vince thing. And like you said, wrestling Twitter, I don't know if you see it, but I think they were saying Vince never really was into him like that. I know, he wasn't into him like that. And I was kind of taken back, because when I eventually got to know, like, did my research on exactly who he was, I was like, well, that's basically like AJ Styles type, kind of, you know, in a similar type of way. So I was like, then I didn't even know about his NXT. I knew about his New Japan before NXT. So then I saw his NXT stuff. I was like, okay, this, it really don't make no sense now, because he was dominating NXT.
Because I caught on to Finn Balor was, I was, Finn Balor had like a special place. It's like, because when I started watching NXT, like late, I think it was late 2015, he was a champion. Mm-hmm. It was okay, you know, then he did his good stuff with Samoa Joe, and then, of course, he went to the main roster. Unfortunately, he got hurt in his first, like, big match. Maybe that kind of soured him on Vince. Like, oh, I'll give you this big spot, and he can get hurt. Yeah, granted, you know.
I think that's the post I saw. That was, like, right when he won. Excuse me. Right when he won, that when he got hurt. And ever since then, he kind of been trying to play catch-up.
Yeah, you know, granted, injuries happen. You know, it happens. But, yeah, I just feel like ever since then, Vince has been kind of sour on him. Then he went back to NXT, had a pretty good run. Now he's back on the main roster. Yeah, I don't get the whole Judgment Day thing. To me, Finn Balor was a great heel, but I'm just not feeling the Judgment Day, even though I'm a Finn Balor guy, big Rhea Ripley guy. You know, mm-hmm. I just feel like it's time to split it up, man. Like, especially after this match.
Yeah. Yeah, this this whole thing with the Judgment Day, like you said, Finn Balor, and he went back to NXT. He was in the middle of the whole Undisputed Era thing, and I was like, okay, that's probably Vince. It seemed more like a downgrade at the time because everybody like, dang, why he back in NXT with the television premiere and all that? I remember that happened. And now with the Judgment Day thing, it's like, damn, bro, they just beat you the night before clean, then the next night you join them.
And yeah, that didn't make sense either.
Yeah, and now, to make it even worse, nobody really knows who's the leader of the Judgment Day. When before, it was clear, it was clearly Edge, and, you know, they got Rhea Ripley young, Damian Priest young, so that made sense. And now they're saying Rhea Ripley like the most wicked out the group, so she might be the leader. So I don't know. That's my thing. I just don't know about Judgment Day at this point.
She's definitely the leader. Once again, me being biased, I'm a Rhea Ripley fan. Just break Judgment Day up, throw Rhea Ripley in that women's division, and just let them run it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Because she was the number one contender before she got hurt.
Yeah, she got hurt. She hasn't really wrestled since then, too, so I'm pretty sure they're probably just slowly bringing her back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, the streak. My bad.
Yeah, because she was the number one contender, and I forgot who challenged Bianca, but yeah, I just thought about that. She was the number one contender before she got hurt.
I'm saying the streets need a Bianca Belair Rhea Ripley match.
Oh yeah, we still need it. And you know, I'm not really interested in this storyline, but the whole Dominic Rey Mysterio thing.
Yeah, I know people been saying it's gonna happen,
but Dominic's not that good in the ring to make me want to see it. Like, there's nothing about this storyline, even the father-son thing, because he's in the ring. I'm like, fam, if Edge wanted to run circles around him in the ring, Edge is going to run circles around him in the ring, if it comes to that. But I don't know. It don't make no sense to him be with the Judgment Day. I don't see that really looking good. It doesn't even look good for him to be with Judgment Day. So I don't know what they're going to do with Dominic, man. Send him to NXT. I've been saying that for months.
Yeah, I would have mocked him, seen him in NXT. Granted, you know, of course, with the name and all that stuff.
Yeah, I get it.
The very first match he had was with Seth Rollins back, you know, whenever he debuted. That's like the very first match he ever had.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a favor from Ray. I know it got to be, because everybody can see it, man. And it's like, damn, you keep on getting beat up by Rhea Ripley. It's like every week you getting your ass whooped. It's like, come on, man. Where are y'all trying to go with this? That's my thing. Where are they trying to go with it?
Yeah, I don't see a Edge versus Dominic match. Well, maybe.
Next match, Seth Rollins, Matt Riddle. It kind of came out of nowhere for me because it was like one of those promos that I was seeing, but I was like, okay, I thought Matt Riddle was hurt. And then I guess the Raw before, when they had the whole, you want to talk about my family, let's talk about yours. Oh, that's right.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, Seth, okay. I was like, I didn't know we were doing the whole TV 14 thing now, but okay, I'm with it. So what you think about that whole situation?
I think, I don't want to say fun fact, but yeah, because I think, I want to say about 2-3 years ago, it's kind of like our imitating life. Matt Riddle's then wife, I think she's like a bodybuilder or something like that. I don't know like what deck she is, but she's in the fitness and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I think I saw she went on a rant basically saying how essentially body shaming some of the women on WWE, of course. One of them being, of course, the GOAT, Becky Lynch. You know how I feel about Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
And I don't think Seth and Becky was together at the time, but of course, you know, eventually Seth's going to get wind of that. Like, dang, you talked about my wife or my future wife or whatever. So I did. So that was, yeah, a little art independent wife. I thought that promo was funny. I'm not going to lie. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, it came. He was like, yeah, you still there? And I was like, oh, okay. What's going on? Like, because I didn't know
that. Yeah, because I'm still.
you just put me on something. I didn't know that the whole, you know, his ex-wife and body shaming the women. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I was surprised that, of course, I'm pretty sure Matt Riddle gave the okay for him to say that, but I'm surprised they brought that into perspective, you know?
Yeah, I think I saw somebody tweet, and then they was like, yeah, it made the match a lot better, made the storyline a lot better because they really don't like each other in real life. And I was like,
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I ain't know nothing. You know how, like you said, wrestling Twitter, but I didn't know that the whole wife and all that. I know he got divorced. I think you told me that about him and his wife, but I didn't know nothing about her talking about the women's and all that.
Basically, one of them was Becky Lynch. I think Seth didn't like that.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, but
oh, you go ahead, my bad.
Yeah, cause I know sometimes Matt Riddle, and of course, rumor, you hear Matt Riddle, like, he kind of rubbed some people the wrong way backstage.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can't really, you know, like you said, sometimes the backstage stuff is better than in the in-ring stuff.
Yeah, that would keep it going for real for me, the backstage. Let me know what's going on behind the scenes, and then I can watch it on TV and look at it a whole different way.
Yeah, but most definitely, this had the best, like, story going into the event.
Mm-hmm. And Seth got the victory. Like I said, with both of these guys, I'm just waiting to see what's next, because of course Seth with the whole three matches against Cody thing, and I just saw that as, really, I saw people talking about it. I just took that as Cody probably just got to get more familiar with being back in WWE and actually putting on wrestling matches again. That's how I took it, honestly. I might be wrong in that, but I took it as, okay, he just got to get familiar again with how they do it over there instead of just sitting there and waiting 15 seconds for somebody to jump on you. So that's how I took that, honestly.
Yeah, that was a good little trilogy with Seth Rollins. Low-key had a very good year. Granted, like, he lost most of the time, but, you know.
Yeah, they said this is like his first event, like main event match. Not main event, but, you know, big event match win in a good little while as well.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. And, yeah, Seth, man, Seth is one of those guys. I big Seth Rollins guy as well.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, anybody with the Shield, you're going to like them.
Mm-hmm. And all three of them great, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And the crowd was loving Seth.
Yeah. That UK crowd made it all better, man. And, like we said, with Sheamus, he got a great standing ovation. Edge, I believe Edge and Ray got one as well, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, that UK crowd made everything hyper, I'll say, made everything more massive. And
usually a good crowd can take a good wrestling show and make it even better.
Mm-hmm. And as we saw with this main event, man, the Undisputed Championship, Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre. Roman Reigns got the victory, but I said it before, man, I didn't know which way this match was going to go, because everything with Drew within the past couple years, like I always say, I feel like he still owed that moment, because at WrestleMania, when he beat Brock Lesnar right when the pandemic hit. So you thinking,
oh yeah, yeah.
So imagine a month away, you think, okay, I'm about to have this WrestleMania moment, then 2 weeks later, the whole country gets shut down and you're big moment is subdued to the performance center or something like that. So I like, well, he still owed a moment, and what better moment than defeat somebody who's had the title for 2+ years in your home country? So I was going into it with that. I was like, yeah, man, this might be the time for Roman. But at the same time, they built Roman up so much within the promos leading up to it. I see what they're doing, but Roman just built up too much to lose a 2-year title reign like this. But it was his home country. And within the past few weeks, Drew McIntyre been kicking out of everything.
Oh, yeah.
He's been kicking out of everything. So during the match, I didn't know which way it was going to go. I think they did a good job with it booking-wise. But what's your thoughts on it? A lot of things took place, too, within the match. So what you think about it?
Yeah, this was probably the most, I guess, Vince McMahon type match, if you want to say that, with the run-ins and the ref bumps and all that stuff. Overall, I thought it was a good match. I did like that Roman mid-match and grabbed the mic and cut a promo. I did like that.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was it, though. When he did that, I said, oh, this is how it's going to end. He's going to do one more acknowledge me, then Drew's going to beat him. That's what I thought.
Yeah, like, I think when they first announced it, like, okay, so Drew versus Roman in the UK, was, okay, Drew's winning this. Then leading up to it with the promos, and usually when they acknowledge a milestone, they're going to lose. When I think they said, hey, it's been 2 years since Roman been champion. Okay, he's probably going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he walked out there with no Paul Heyman and no Usos and Sami Zayn. I was like, okay, yeah, he's going to lose.
Yeah. And then Drew came out with what's called Broken Dreams.
Oh, yeah, his original theme song.
Yeah, that jump. Man, I don't see why he didn't use that all the way to the ring.
Yeah,
I feel like that's something the UK crowd was waiting on, because you can hear them screaming when they was playing it, the package. And And I was like, oh, yeah, he's about to come out. I said, this might be it right here, because he's coming out looking like Superman, damn near.
Yeah, I thought it was. But when I thought about it as well, I was like, if whenever Roman drops the title, I thought it had to be at a big event, like a WrestleMania or something, where the title reigns that long and it ends at WrestleMania.
Yeah. That's my thing. I'm like, man, I get it, but they built the Roman. Like, of course, we all were saying, of course, okay, Cody Rhodes going to beat him eventually down the line. But since that happened, and then, like, the rumors about, I guess, Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania, I guess everybody's pretty much sold on that at the moment. So I'm not sure where they're going to go with Roman. I mean, he can hold him until, but Rock versus Roman doesn't need to be a title match. I mean, the story writes itself with that.
Oh, yeah, I think we all know Cody Rhodes is going to be the one to break that. It is the dethroning him.
Yeah, but then have you heard this whole split in the titles? They're saying Karrion Kross may challenge for one belt, and then, like, if Randy Orton come back, he'll challenge for the other belt. Something like that I've been seeing.
Yeah, because that would make sense. Like, you can't just challenge for one belt when you got two, you know?
Yeah, I guess because the whole company thing with USA Network, they're like, yo, we want a champion over here. I think it's more about that than it is, you know, splitting the belt. I think USA is saying, yo, Raw, I mean, he shows up. One, he show up when he feel like it. So, yeah, it was like, yeah, we want a main champion over here too as well. So, I think it was more of that type of thing than it is. Because then they're saying Triple H is thinking about redesigning the belts as well. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of stuff going on with the Roman situation. And like I said, until Cody come back, I really don't know what to expect in terms of who's going to beat him and the whole Karrion Kross. Like I said, his second time coming back, and it seemed like Triple H is rewriting that wrong that Vince McMahon did with him, because everybody was mad about that when they saw Karrion Kross come with a mask on. And I was like, damn, like everybody was kind of pissed off about that. So, yeah, he rewriting the wrong with that. The Uso younger brother, I feel like I just saw on Thursday they were saying he making the jump to the main roster, so I didn't expect him at all to show up at the UK. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, because when, of course, you know, with the ref bump, then the whole Tyson Fury punching Austin Fury, then Drew hit his finisher, mm-hmm. I thought that was it.
Yeah.
And then when the ref pulled him out, I was like, who the hell pulled him out?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they showed him all the...
I said, oh, damn. I said, okay, way to kill the rumors. Quick. I was like, dang, I just saw the other day they was talking about he's making the jump and he's gonna join the Usos, and of course that's the story. And I was like, okay, then I saw him there and I was like, wow, way to make a main roster debut.
Oh yeah, how you think that's gonna work with the Bloodline, and of course, you know, the whole Sami Zayn storyline as well, with him,
man,
quote unquote, being in the group.
I do not know. The best logic I saw was eventually Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to reunite and beat them. That's the best.
I would love for that to happen.
Yeah, that's the best way I can see it, because I thought that was like a Vince thing. I was like, dang, you're going to throw Sami Zayn into the Bloodline storyline? I'm like, okay, how that's going to work out? I was like, okay, I guess.
Sami's making it work.
Yeah, he's making it work. He's doing what he's supposed to do. That's like a perfect example of an employee doing what they're supposed to do, because I'm sure he even knows, like, fam, come on, really? Like, they got their own thing going on. Like, I can't challenge for a tag title. Now you're going to throw me in with them. But I saw somebody saying, yo, if Kevin Owens, because, you know, Kevin Owens going back to his original self as well, because they had him arguing with, what you call it, for the longest, about who he really is.
And
I was like, come on, man. So I saw somebody say, yo, they may just come together and beat the Bloodline eventually. So, but I guess the brother's going to come back and they're going to be like, oh, welcome. And then Sammy's going to feel left out, I guess, you know, so.
I think that's probably the best way it'll work.
Yeah, make it real. Like, dang, I was just getting the love from y'all. Now the younger brother coming and now he's overshadowing me. So I can see it playing out like that, I guess, to a Survivor Series, I guess.
Yeah, that's probably the most logical way to do it.
Yeah, so overall, man, I think it was a great event. Like I said, it was on a Saturday in the midst of college football. Luckily, it wasn't no big major noon game or nothing like that on. So I was able to watch it from, like I said, from start to finish. Then after it went off, ironically enough, I tuned into the Georgia game and saw Georgia scored again. So it was like 21-0. So I was like, well, it filled the slot good enough. So overall, man, I gotta say it was a great event.
Oh yeah, very good. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I was like, that was actually a good event. I did not, I was happy.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you know anything about NXT Worlds Collide. I don't have much to say about that.
I know a little bit. Like, basically, they're merging the UK and the NXT brand into one, basically. That's like the gist of it.
Oh, okay. I see they got, NXT Europe now?
Yeah, I think that's going to be in the works. I think that's coming out next year. So, I guess they're killing off NXT UK with this event. And then they'll have, I assume, just one NXT until NXT Europe is a thing.
Okay, man. I guess Triple H, man, like I said, I feel like he just rewriting the wrongs Vince was doing, and I'm not mad at it at all so far what he's doing.
Yeah, he's doing a good job so far. Like I said, rewriting the wrongs with Karrion Kross. He got Austin Theory and Matt Riddle, their names back.
That was another thing. I'm like, damn, bro, just let people have their name. Johnny Gargano back, Ciampa, he's in a good position with The Miz right now. Everything is kind of clicking right now. People wanting to make the jump from NXT to the main roster again. So I've been telling people, man, it's a good time to jump back in. I know I say it every time, but I honestly feel like now is definitely a good time to jump back in.
Yeah, he's making the secondary title mean something again.
Yes, packages. Packages, man. Just make it. Just give us some backstory, man, because some people wasn't around for those days. But with him doing good, man, I don't know if you've been tuned to AEW, but I definitely see them, I ain't going to say hitting the panic button, but a lot of things I'm kind of scratching my head at. All Out is tonight. Of course, we're recording early. About 14, 15 matches, man. I know you told me about it a few times. You heard from people, if you go to an AEW event, that shit might last about 6 hours because they film, they shoot so much content. And for them to have a 15-match event, man, I mean, I'm looking at the lineup now. I know the wrestlers, of course, but I'm like, damn, I don't know. I think some of these could have been held off to Dynamite or something, man.
There's about a good 3 matches I'm very interested in.
Yeah, what's your thing? I'm just going to jump right into it. This whole CM Punk, John Moxley thing, what do you think about that match, the original match, when it kind of ended? And everybody was like, okay, what the hell going on?
Like everybody else, I was shocked. I was expecting like this 20-minute epic,
Yeah.
And then CM Punk got hurt, quote unquote, storyline wise got hurt. Moxley beat him. And I was like, that was quick.
Yeah.
That was basically my reaction. That was quick. And I think, like you said, with, my bad.
Oh, you good. Keep on going.
I think AEW kind of doing the same thing with WWE with Drew McIntyre, like when Moxley won the belt, like the month later the pandemic hit. Mm. So they're probably giving him, a run with the crowd. I think he's doing a great job. Some people are saying, hell, like CM Punk, like, hell, what Moxley run with the belt, since he's doing good.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see a problem with it. I remember that whole Dynamite felt weird because it was like, okay, CM Punk came back. And I just felt like he just said, y'all, I'm going to be out for a while. He came back, and I feel like I didn't see no type of rumors or nothing about it. So I was happy that I was shocked that he came back. But then when that match happened, I was like, well, maybe he came back probably a little bit too early. And then to add on with that, when Kenny Omega returned that later on that night, he obviously didn't look 100% as well. So I'm like, damn, did they press the panic button and say, yo, we need y'all to come back just to get the ratings or something like that? So it was kind of odd. That whole night was kind of odd because I was like, I figured CM Punk wouldn't. I didn't think that match was going to go like that at all.
Most definitely.
So that's going to happen. I guess, like you said, you got Moxley winning that match.
My heart says Moxley, but, CM Punk in Chicago, you already know what the deal is, man.
Yeah. There's been rumors of him possibly turning heel, which I don't think is a big deal no more. I mean, I kind of root for the heels nowadays. I forgot to mention that earlier. I saw on Instagram Baron Corbin, like he got into JBL's car.
I didn't really pay attention to it.
Yeah, I guess, like you said, he in Chicago, CM Punk. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what AEW got going. They got the trios, tournament, final, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Adam Page, Dark Order. I feel like this is about to be the time the Elite just going to use their power and just be like, okay, yeah, we about to get these belts, fam. Like,
yeah, but to me, honestly, I know they're doing the story with Hangman Page and the Elite. But honestly, man, they would have had the Elite versus Ospreay and them two boys. That would have been a great final.
Man, Ospreay, bro. Ospreay, I've watched some of his matches on YouTube, man. Like, he that deal, man.
Oh, yeah, like, I would love for it. Like I said, I would love for a Kenny Omega Will Ospreay match sometime in the future.
Yeah, another match I'm seeing on the card that I'm interested in storyline wise, Christian and Jungle Boy. That's been interesting to see how that played out.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's whatever to me. It's like, okay, the mentor turning on a mentee storyline.
Yeah, it just kind of happened too quick though with the whole what bro name, the Lucha, the Dragon.
Luchasaurus.
Yeah, it's like, damn, okay, he just left Christian like high and dry. Like you was healed for about 2 weeks and now you back.
Yeah, he was healed until Jungle Boy came back.
Yeah. I've been seeing rumors, cause I know you tuned in with Jade Cargill. I've been seeing people saying, yo, why not just make Jade the real women's champion instead of the TBS champion? Why not just make her the all around champion instead of.
Yeah, because most people do view her as the, I guess, rating wise and as a bigger figure,
yeah.
I guess. But yeah, it's weird because I would assume Jay would be a champion by now. I think that's why they had the TBS championship, just have, I guess, a secondary women's title, which is rare, you know, in, I guess, mainstream wrestling. But I would not be surprised if, what's her name, Athena wins. Like, cause eventually, her Jay streak has to be broken, eventually.
Yeah, she got like a Goldberg streak going on.
Yeah, I was going to say Goldberg streak, but I think I got Athena winning that match.
All right, I'm just looking at the other matches. Ricky Starks, Powerhouse Hobbs. I think they're saying Ricky Starks about to be the next babyface, the next big babyface, I guess, in AEW. I'm not mad at that.
I like Ricky Starks.
House of Black versus Darby Allin, Sting, and Miro. Sting is damn near on his Jeff Hardy shit right now. Anytime you see Sting in the ring, you never know what he about to do. So
he gonna jump off something high.
Yeah, so it's weird to see because it's Sting, but at the same time, I'm not mad at it. As long as he's still going, I'm not mad at it.
He's been hanging out with Darby Allin too much.
Yeah, man. Bryan Danielson, Chris Jericho. We already know that's gonna be a good match. That's written. You don't gotta even worry about that. So all around,
yeah,
they got like a good card, but it's just 15 matches, man.
You know what match I'm excited about?
Which one?
The ladder match.
Oh yeah, I see it right here. We have, we got Claudio. Oh, I didn't know he was in the match.
Yeah, I think he got added. People are like, why he's in the match? He's a champion. Like, you know, because logically, let's say he wins, and let's say Moxley wins, that's gonna be like,
Oh wow, Claudio. You got Claudio, Wheeler Yuta. Penta, Ray Phoenix, Rush, Andrade, Dante Martin, and the to be determined. I haven't seen no rumors about who the to be determined is. I know they got like a Joker or something like that.
Yeah, people think it's MJF. People think it's gonna be. Me personally, I'm bad at making guesses. Even on my podcast, when it comes to the Marvel stuff, I'm bad at making guesses. So, I really don't know. I guess we'll just be surprised on Twitter, you know, when they announce the Joker is somebody.
I'm definitely not paying to watch this. I saw somebody post that it's supposed to be at the movie theater or something. I'm like, fam, 15 matches, man. I got to have a free Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday to watch that in the movie theater, man.
Yeah, but no, the Lucha Bro, the Canadian Destroyer will be used.
Oh, yeah, multiple times I feel like in this match with a ladder involved.
Oh, yeah, but that might steal the show because, you know, ladder matches are always potential show stealers.
Right. Like you said, we just be tuned in. I'll be tuned in on Twitter. Then, like, the next morning, I'll watch some YouTube videos, some reactions and all that. But
I'm also curious. My bad.
Oh, you go ahead.
I'm also curious. When AEW going to come to Atlanta for a pay-per-view? I feel like they're in Chicago once a month.
Yeah, they need to just come on and either State Farm or the one in Duluth, like they always do.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, broaden your horizons. They like, go to cities. You know, start, I feel like they go to the same few cities every, you know, year.
Mm-hmm. And I'm nervous to go to one, too, when it's a Dynamite or something, because I ain't trying to stay all day.
Yeah, let me stay for about 3-4 hours and go home.
Yeah, I ain't trying to see AEW, Dark Elevation, Rampage. Let me see Dynamite and just go. That's all.
Yeah. I assume, like, logically you think, okay, you pay this one ticket price, you're seeing four shows or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I assume most people just stay for Dynamite. Maybe Rampage, depending on who's wrestling, and then they go home.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I appreciate you, man, for calling in. Well, me calling you, having the time to chat about wrestling, man. I know you caught the event, so I just wanted to put you on, man. I got to get you in the studio for real, though, next time.
Okay, yeah, man. Can I say something while we're still on air?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, man, I'm loving what you're doing with the whole podcast game, man. The whole audio, you're about to hit, like, what, 200 in, what, maybe a couple months?
Yeah, a couple months.
Yeah, man, 200, like, to stay consistent for the most part. Granted, you know, of course, we all take our breaks here and there. But basically, on a week-to-week basis, stay consistent and hitting up 200, that's a big deal, man. And the whole video thing, too, man. I do love the whole video aspect, too, with the podcast.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. You know, we in this together, man. I keep on telling people, you know, I said we all had got together over the weekend. You know, they was asking me. I like, man, look, the field, you can jump in, man. You don't need to ask. If you want to ask me for help, do that, man. Don't just feel like, oh, Tyler, that's Tyler thing. Hell, that's Tyler Jacob them thing. Man, it's an open space for anybody. Because I don't talk about half of the stuff everybody else want to talk about. You know, I just talk about stuff that interests me. So if you feel like you got something you want to say about anything, I'd be telling people, like, man, just go for it, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, most definitely. And also, I love your, like, I've been wanting to tell you just, like, well, almost 4 years now since you've been doing the podcast. I love your episode. I guess titles, it has, like, the, and then the quotation mark.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the episode name. Well, how'd you come up with that? Like, I like the aesthetic of that.
It'd be just random, like, if it got anything to do with my topics or just a quote I heard over the weekend. You know what I'm saying? I just come up with it just randomly. It just...
Okay.
Let me see. Like,
fast... What made you want to, like, do that format?
Just watching different podcasts, and I don't want to just have episode whatever, so I want to have it to be like, okay, what does this mean? How did this fit into what he's talking about type of thing? Like, putting everything together. I want it all to make sense. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, so just for... example, I had an episode called The Origin Story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had my homegirl Jamia call in, and she helped me with, like, naming the podcast and all that, so The Origin Story. And it don't got to be something about other topics, but just that one topic, I could just name the whole episode around just one topic. It just be random. It's random. That's not the random part of me, I'll say.
That's creative. I just named my episodes after rap songs and albums.
Yeah, I see a lot of shows do that too. See, like, different things. Like, it could be whatever, just the whatever, or I'd rather do that than put Ohio State beats Notre Dame episode one, whatever, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I put basically what you're going to talk about. And I understand. I see why the podcast just have, like, episode 10 and just they list the lineup. Which is nothing wrong with that, you know?
Now, granted, if the podcast take off and everybody be like, okay, Tyler does week-to-week stuff, then I could just put, hey, y'all, the episode out. But that's why I still put the topics and put timestamps, because I'm like, okay, everybody don't know. Even though you want everybody to know, is you got to just be real with yourself. Everybody don't know exactly what you do. Like, people just thinking I'm just starring just because I'm doing videos. It's like, dang, I know you do podcast. Like, yeah, I've been doing this shit for – like, you feel a way because you're like, dang, I know you see I post. But at the same time, video bring a different aspect and different audience. So,
yeah, I'm like 180 episodes in.
Yeah, you just got to be real with yourself and be like, okay, I know since I got video now, a different audience going to see it and different people want to reach out now, because it's different when it's just audio and different when it's audio and video. So,
yeah, it's more of a, I can't think of the word. It broadens your horizons. Some people like the visual component. Some people like the audio.
Mm-hmm. And I had got something for you with the link tree thing. Like, that kind of made a difference. I just started doing that with Reels and all that.
Yeah, you don't want to just put each, cause even before I heard of link tree, I was putting like the Spotify link, the Apple link, the Anchor link, and link tree. Just, hey, here's the link. Pick whichever, you know, platform you like, and then go from there.
Yeah, man, but I got to get you on, man. I keep on telling people, man, I want to get my friends on here first. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want everybody to be like, damn, who the hell Tyler talking to now? Like, I want to get the people, everybody know, like, okay, them boys got more to talk about than just sports and music. They got stories and all that, so.
Yeah, because some podcasts is more, I know most like the stuff we do is like current events stuff, but sometimes a good story here and there switch things up.
Yeah, just to talk, you know, just talking, just press record, and like I said, just don't incriminate nobody or nothing like that, so.
You don't got to worry about that with me.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But I appreciate you, man, for coming on. Once again, man, plug in your stuff. I got your socials up right now, so just plug in one more time, man.
Okay, once again, Instagram and Twitter is So Yeah, I'm Asian Podcast. Instagram and Twitter, High Infinity Pod. And if you like food, start a food page up as a side hobby. And that's on Instagram and TikTok at So Yeah, I'm Eating. And Eating is spelled EATIN.
All right, man. So once again, that's my boy Jake, man, my brother for many, many years, 2 decades plus 20, 25 years, man. So make sure you guys tap into everything he got going on. Support my people, man. And once again, man, appreciate you for coming on, bro.
Anytime, man.
All right, for sure.